many questions does our mind generate for a day? Well, how many of those do we answer? Have our questions become our problems? So let Is There a Problem start. Hello, everybody. I'm Sümeyra Yaman, presenter of this podcast program. And my friend Arsutan technically supports me. The program is broadcasted in Turkish, but today the program is prepared in both English and Turkish. The name of the program is Bir Sorun Mu Var in Turkish. You can translate it like, Is There a Problem? The aim of the program is to raise awareness of people, especially youngsters, about Islam. Today, the guest of the podcast is Mrs. Jenny Molandik Divleli. Firstly, I want to say welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me.
How are you, Mrs. Molandik?
Alhamdulillah, I'm well. Yeah, it's a beautiful day here and I'm happy to be here with you.
Thank you, I'm fine. At the beginning, I introduced the guest to our listeners. Jenny Molandik Divleli was born and raised in Canada. Having spent most of her life around individuals with disabilities, she decided to pursue her education in deaf studies and American Sign Language interpretation. She attended the University of Manitoba and Red River College, where she received a double major in linguistics and American Sign Language. She was raised in a conservative Christian family as the second child of a police officer and a nurse. During the graduation, while searching for answers to various aspects of life, she began debating with Muslims. After long research, she found answers, and on May 14, 2006, she converted to Islam. She was the biggest decision of her life. Although at first her instructors and father opposed and tried to convince her to review her decision, she, however, remained steadfast. During this period, she met Sami Divleli and decided to marry him and then moved to Istanbul in 2012. Settled in Istanbul for over the past 10 years, where she continues to teach English language courses, she is engaged in making educational and informative material for children, touching on general issues and introducing Islam and the life of the Prophet Muhammad in Turkish and English language social media posts. Now she is passionate about creating a dynamic learning environment, whether at home or school, and regularly gives workshops to other educators as well as homeschooling families. She is currently working as a teacher in both public and private sectors and is in the process of publishing children's first book. She is passionate about the topic of Muslim identity in youth and dreams of establishing a community center for young adults. She lives in Istanbul with her husband and 5 children. Okay, Mrs. Molandik, we are very glad that you attended the program. Firstly, I want to ask a question about your early views about Islam, because most of us as a Turkish people have been growing up in Islamic culture. According to you, as a person who later converted to Islam, how does Islam look like for non-Muslim people? Can you explain this?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably it changes a little bit from country to country or where you grow up. But I think in general, especially over the last, 10, 15 years, Islam has had a very negative portrayal in the media, for example. Like there's anything that we see in the media is often negative or kind of feeding this idea of Islamophobia. There's a lot of critical and very negative information in terms of labeling Muslims as terrorists, labeling practicing Muslims as being radical, like these kinds of words. Lots of very biased media presentation that gets put out on the media, whether it be television or social media or even in the news, newspapers, etc. And I think Muslim organizations now are working really hard to try and reclaim the narrative and to try and tell people and show people the truth of Islam, to show that this is just one biased perspective and that's not the greater Muslim society. That's not what Islam looks like. But I think, unfortunately, because that's been the narrative for so many years, because so much of the media has been negative, I do think that the average non-Muslim person doesn't know very much about Islam. And what they do know is often the wrong information. It's a lot of stereotypes. It's a lot of assumptions, I think. And I think that we're in desperate need, and these are very important times. They're in desperate need to have conversations with real Muslims to learn, like, what is Islam? What is it truly? What does it really look like? What did it look like at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and how do people practice Islam now? And I think that those are conversations that we need to have, and I think that our Muslim community needs to be more active in having with non-Muslims.
Yeah, but the name of Islam etymologically means peace, well-being, serenity, confidence. Even in war, Islam has imposed some ethic rules. For example, civilians such as elders, children or women are not killed. Hospitals and places of worship are not damaged. However, it's very sad that Islam is associated with terrorism.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, there's so many beautiful examples like that within Islamic history. I mean, certainly the points that you've just mentioned, but also if we talk about women's rights the rights of society, the rights of the neighbor, like, you know, the rights within the home. There's so many amazing aspects that are part of Islam. It's the way that we must live. But unfortunately, the loudest voice happens to be the one that's presented in the media, and it's often not ours. Which is why I think it's really, really important for us as Muslims to know our religion. I think we need to know our history. So, and then we need to work harder to make sure that the truth is being put out there. And as I said, to reclaim our narrative, because, as you said, Islam means peace. It means submission. And unfortunately we are not, it doesn't seem to be the message that's constantly being put out on the media, even though we as Muslims know better. Inshallah, Allah continues to open doors for us. And the other thing that's happened over years, I think, is that Muslims are so used to having other people tell us about Islam, like the media and television and films and all of this, like this sound like that we hear about Muslim being terrorists and Muslim, you know, like Muslims being oppressed and Muslims being all these things. I think that our community has a lot of internalized Islamophobia, where we become afraid to even practice our religion or to go and talk to people about Islam because we're not sure how we're going to be received. We're so afraid of being labeled as extreme or being labeled as a terrorist or being labeled as out there. You know, I think there's a lot of fear even within our own community about, like, what will happen if I practice my faith? What will happen if I tell other people? So I think we have a lot of hurdles to overcome.
Yes. Then what happened in your life? What impressed you the most in Islamic religion? What situation did you encounter while researching Islam?
Yeah, my situation, I mean, it's a little bit unique in such that, and I think that my situation is a really good example of if we really truly see practicing Muslims about what a difference that can make in people's lives. Because when I first started looking into Islam, I had no intention of becoming Muslim. I just was one of those people that didn't know anything about Islam. I believed that Muslims, I don't know that I would say necessarily that they were terrorists, but I certainly had a distorted image of what I thought a Muslim was or who I thought a Muslim was. Probably I had questions about women's rights. I met Muslims, and the Muslims that I met were wonderful, kind, considerate, helpful, generous people. And there was just this disconnect. You know, I couldn't make sense of the information I had been presented in the media and then the people that I was meeting. And the other thing that was really interesting to me that I had no clue of was how similar Islam and Christianity were. So at the time, I didn't know anything about the Islamic faith. I didn't know that the prophets were the same. I didn't know that so much of, like, so many of the Bible stories that I grew up learning in Sunday school, I really didn't know that that was a lot of those we believe in, to some degree within the Islamic faith. So that was really surprising as well. And I think that once I started to learn that, and I learned that there was this common connection and that the Muslims were so wonderful, I decided I needed to start researching Islam. And then the more that I researched, the more I became impressed by it and the more I realized it was truth. And the other really significant turning point for me was when I really started to understand the significance and the beauty of the Quran. And even as a Christian, you know, we believed that, or like Christians believe that the word of God is protected, right? That it is sacred. But here was the Quran with the same promise that, like, that God would protect his word. And the Quran has been unchanged for 1400 years. There's, you know, the Quran today looks the same as it did 1400 years ago. And not only that, that even if it was to be physically destroyed, there are so many people that have memorized it, that it would continue, right? Like that the word of Allah would continue. And that was really significant for me. That felt like it was God's promise being put into action. Like God was saying, like, no, this is truth and I'm protecting it. And so all of those points were very, I think at first what drew me to Islam was the people that I had met, their behavior. And then what piqued my curiosity was the similarities. But really what really struck my heart was that point about the Quran.
Yeah, okay, Mrs. Dileli. When you converted to Islam, what has changed in your life? How did your first worship make you feel? Such as the first headscarf, the first prayer, the first fast?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's lots of acts of worship, like the things that you mentioned, headscarf, prayer, fasting. These are things for sure. Before I was Muslim, I was, in some aspects I wasn't doing. Interestingly enough, before I became Muslim, I felt the need to learn how to pray. So I hadn't yet become Muslim. I hadn't given my shahada. But there was one night that I just felt like I need to learn how to pray as a Muslim. And so even though I wasn't Muslim, I had this little book and I would be alone in my house and I would open this book and I was trying to learn how to pray as a Muslim. And of course, I couldn't read Arabic. I couldn't speak Arabic. I was just trying to follow along with the pictures. And I remember the morning prayer, for example, it used to take me 45 minutes to pray because I just didn't know what I was doing. But it just felt so important to me. It was so important that I learn how to connect with Allah in those moments. And it's, I don't know how to articulate it. Like it's actually a feeling that I wish I always still had, because I think we, you know, as Muslims, our faith goes up and down. And I think now there are times, of course, I'm rushing, I have kids, I'm trying to rush through my prayers, but like thinking about the commitment, wanting to pray so badly that I prayed for, you know, 45 minutes for my morning prayer just because I wanted to connect with Allah. Like that is something that's so beautiful. And I feel like I wish I could always have that feeling. So prayer in those early days was just something so special. About hijab, when I made the decision that I wanted to become Muslim, for a long time, I thought, okay, I'll become Muslim, but I won't put on hijab because it just felt so scary. Like I just thought, how will I ever do that? How will I feel beautiful? How will I not lose my identity if I wear hijab? And also it felt really scary just because the minute I put a hijab on my head, everybody was going to know I was Muslim. And I hadn't told people that I was looking into Islam. So, you know, I thought like, okay, well, how am I going to deal with what other people are going to say and their criticisms and their questions? And that just felt really overwhelming and scary. And it meant that I had to tell people I was Muslim. But the thing was, as I've mentioned to you that the Quran became a really significant key for me and that I knew with all of my heart that Quran was truth and Allah protected it and Allah like has saved it and that's his word. And so I felt so conflicted because I said, like, how could I accept this as truth, but then not follow the commandments of Allah? And so because in the Quran, it talks about hijab, I made this decision. I was like, if I become Muslim, I don't know how, but like, I know I need to put on hijab. And so I started to pray before I became Muslim. I started to pray before I became Muslim, like, oh Allah, make my heart soft about this topic. Make me accepting and able to put on hijab, like make it possible for me, because I don't know how I'm going to do it, because I'm just so scared of it. And alhamdulillah, the day that I became Muslim, May 14th, 2006, I put on hijab. I made the decision and I committed to it. And alhamdulillah, that was the day that I did it. And it was really scary at first. And I used to go out in Canada and I used to think that everybody was staring at me and you know, everybody was looking at me, and there was lots of questions at first. And of course there was questions from my friends and questions from my family. But in my heart, I had gotten to a point with the help of Allah that it was very, very important for me, more important than all of those other feelings.
Okay, Mrs. Jenny Molandik, what you say is very precious to us. According to you, when we explain the message of Islam to other countries, to other cultures, what should we pay attention to?
I mean, I just really think that the best thing that we can do as Muslims is know our faith, know our religion. And when I say know it, I don't mean like necessarily preach it. I mean like live it, right? We know that Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the walking Quran. He was the Quran that had like was embodied. That his behavior was the best there was. His manner, his akhlaq was the best there was. He was the kindest to his family. He was the kindest to those in his community. He was the most merciful to children. He was everything that we can know about the beauty of the human spirit, right? The human, you know, as we would say. And I think that if we truly understand who our Prophet is, and if we truly understand the beauty of Islam, and then we live that, I think that that is the best example that we could ever give. And I experienced that myself, as I said, like when I really truly got to know Muslims, practicing Muslims, it was just so beautiful and so fascinating. And it was even more so because it was so contrary to what we had been told. So I think we really, as Muslims, we need to be responsible about knowing what it is like that our religion tells us, how we should behave, how we should act. And then we have to do it. We have to act it. And I think that often what happens, we often get caught up and we want to debate with people. We want to tell them why we're right and they're wrong, you know? And I don't think that's the approach that we should take. I think that's a mistake that we make in general when we're talking to non-Muslims. I also think it's a mistake that we make with our children in the Muslim culture, is trying to tell people what you can't do, right? Trying to tell them why this is wrong, why this is bad, right? Like, I think that we need to, we just need to like show the truth, live it ourselves, and that will draw people in. And I think that we need to have conversations instead of arguments. And I think that, Islam is perfect and Islam is truth. And if we live it, like we don't need to fight. We don't need to defend. Allah will do that. Like, you know, it's clear, right? We just need to act the way that we're supposed to act. We need to be responsible for ourselves. And so I think that means our behavior and then also how we treat others. And instead of trying to be confrontational, I think we just need to welcome dialogue and be responsible for our actions and how we treat the greater society.
Yeah, you underlined a very important point. Mrs. Molandik, we are approaching the end of the program, unfortunately. Do you have any other messages you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've said the things that are really important to me. I think that... I guess if you are a non-Muslim listening to this, and you have questions, my one thing that I really would want to say is find a Muslim and ask your questions to a Muslim. You know, I remember when I first became Muslim, some of my family and friends, they were curious and they wanted to know more. But for example, they went to their pastor or they went to the internet. And, you know, and I said to them, I said, you wouldn't go to a doctor when you need a dentist, right? Like, if you want to get the right information, go to the right people. So if you're curious about Islam, find a Muslim, find a mosque, go to a mosque, pick up the Quran, read the Quran, and then ask questions, because like the truth is there. And, you know, Islam is beautiful and I invite you to look into it. And to the Muslims, you know, Allah will ask us about our life. He'll ask us about our time and how we used it, and our youth and how we used it, and our money and how we used it. And we are responsible. We're responsible for the well-being of our communities and for those who are being oppressed and for those who are around us. And so I think, you know, never... Come back and learn our religion. And I'm saying that to myself as well. You know, we're responsible. I think we need to really know our deen, know who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, and then do our best to live in accordance with that. And may Allah guide us all and protect us all.
Yeah, Mrs. Jen, your personal story includes a lot of important messages. While you were talking about your life, I'm sure many of our listeners think our own lives. Thank you very much for your contribution to the program. We felt the peace and grace of Islam, which we didn't notice due to habit. Thank you very much for this awareness. We will finish the podcast with words of Allah, Quran. The name of Surah is An'am and the number of ayat is 32. What is the life of this world but play and amusement? But best is the home in the hereafter for those who are righteous. Will you not then understand? See you soon. I hope the peace will be upon you. Goodbye.